Hello, everyone. This week, we're going to talk about some interesting news at Trion, including some layoffs, some class changes that came in 2.1, and we're going to talk about the most recent progression in Endless Eclipse and Frozen Tempest. This is Episode 5, Storm of Failure. Today, our good friend from Trinity, Boar, and also we have me, unfortunately, and Rough Raptors. How you guys doing today?
Not bad.
Just dandy.
Alright, so let's move on to the first topic, which is going to be the news, and the big news around Trion is some layoffs. Now, this is not new to corporate America, there's layoffs all the time, but why is it such a big deal at Trion? Well, let's take into account that recently they've been publishing, or they had an agreement to publish a game called End of Nations. It was supposed to be an MMO RTS. Well, not supposed to be. It's still coming out. It's just been pushed back because their developer went belly up. So Trion, instead of cutting their losses, which would have been a pretty big loss, they decided to bring it in-house and I'm going to assume that that had to do with some of the layoffs. I mean, they probably laid off some people, you know, that made very bad decisions. But they also apparently laid off some people within Trion that were working on in Rift. From what I've seen from several websites is that some of these people were from the art team, and some of the people were dungeon and raid developers, and some other people were QA people, quality assurance, so people that test, you know, the people that give us those lovely bugs for us to retest on live servers. But, you know, this is not the first wave of layoffs that Trion has had. They've had layoffs in October. They've had layoffs before that in the summer. So it's not the first wave, but for some reason, this is the most vocal one. It reached the media, and the media, of course, you know, did their whole spin on it, and apparently everyone thinks that Rift is dying now, which is totally untrue. From what I hear from people is that Rift is stronger than before, obviously, because of the expansion, but obviously they had to do something with this big loss, and it's just business. That's what I think, it's just business. What do you guys think?
Shit happens.
Shit happens. Wise words from Rough Raptors.
It's unfortunate. I really didn't want to delve into this topic too much, and I personally just don't think we should. That's just my opinion, but yeah, it's just unfortunate. Just comes with the territory, I guess.
I mean, I guess I would say, like, who they laid off just sort of says a little bit about what their intentions are for the future. So, I mean, if they did lay off some of the Dungeons and Raids people, I mean, it's obvious that they're just not going to try and capitalize on that. You know, keep on this pretty crazy raid release schedule that they've been on right now. I mean, they did an expansion and then in 1 month released two raids with it, so that's pretty blistering pace, and it's obvious they don't want to continue that, which may not be a bad thing for everybody. So we'll just see what that says in the future. I mean, this is their only game that's like actually selling, right? So they're not going to just axe Rift. They have three games in development, so like, but this is the thing that makes them money. So I don't think this is everyone's gonna be like, oh, they're just gonna shut down Rift and work on the other games. That's like, you know, that would be crazy because, you know, there goes their entire revenue stream while they're developing new games. So I think we're okay, but we'll just have to see, you know, like what their roadmap over the next 6 months is gonna be.
Yeah, like if they come out in a month or something and they say, oh, more layoffs, then I would start worrying then, because then there's something systematically wrong with what they've been doing. But I don't think it's going to get to that. I mean, they laid off, I think they laid off less.
Hey, Intrinsic, I just realized my mumble has been fucked up and I had it set to mute.
Oh, nice. So
just thought I'd throw that out there.
So no one heard any of that. They're going to have
No one's been hearing any of this. They've just been hearing me.
Awesome. So they're going to have to wait till we release this on iTunes and shit. That's cool. Thanks for that, Ruff. I love you.
No problem.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, listen, I want them to come out with more content, you know, like at a blistering pace still, but they said they're going to do hard modes with this tier, and who knows if they'll even do that now. Like, I was talking to Decoy, and he didn't want to get too deep into it. I talked to some of the other devs that got laid off from the Dungeons and Raids team, and they said it had nothing to do with people reporting bugs in this whole fiasco with Krusha. But, you know, they're not going to... I don't think if that was the case, they would tell you, like, oh, yeah, it totally had to do with that dude. You know, so until they say something, and I don't think they will say something publicly, we can just speculate. But let's move on to the next topic. In patch 2.1 that just recently came out, there was some class changes. Now, I'm a warrior. I'm going to stick with that class, and I'm going to know the most I can about that class. But there were some changes in pretty much every other class, although not as big. I think the big thing with warrior DPS, the big thing with 2.1 was trying to get warrior DPS up there. And in the process, and also the warrior tanking, because it was absolutely terrible before. It's still not up to snuff now, but it's better. In the process, our demigod Atreus tried to fix us, and he bugged the whole class. And then he tried to fix that bug, and then he broke some other shit. So pretty much to get us to be competitive until he can fix the bug that was bugging the DPS, he let the bug that he was trying to fix go through it. That makes sense. So pretty much like all the dots that we have, like especially in Paragon and Riftblade, like Fiery Burst and Flame Spear, Open the Stream. Dots from Beastmaster, Cutting Slash, Savage Sweep, they all do ridiculous damage. I mean, in Raid, I'm getting like 15k ticks on Cutting Slash, which is not intended. But that's also affecting other bleeds from other classes. It's affecting Chloromancer heals, and I'm sure it's affecting like Assassin bleeds too. Now, that's pretty much what he said. He said he was going to let this go through so we can be competitive until he can fix the actual issue, and he's going to compensate for that nerf on the bleeds with other buffs to other attacks. I don't know when this is coming out, but even if Atreus is our dev, he works notoriously slow, so it'll probably be 2.2, 2.3. I mean, right now, because of that, the thing with the bleeds, there's one spec in Warrior DPS that's super, super notoriously and obnoxiously OP, but everything else seems to be performing on par with all the other classes, except Tempest. Tempest sucks. Well, it doesn't suck as much, but they put a cooldown on Electricity Cascade, which makes it terrible for swapping targets, because you gotta wait for this cooldown to come back down until you can put it on, and it buffs every attack from Tempest. So while you don't have it up, you just, like, kiss your DPS goodbye. And yeah, like, with this round of layoffs, I mean, either Atreus is on vacation or he was fired, we don't know, but this Daglar guy has been posting quite a lot in all the forums, but he's also been posting a lot in the Rogue forums, and Aelion hasn't been fired, obviously, because he's been posting, so who knows. What did they change in with Warrior Tank, Ruff?
I'm not 100% sure what the main issue with our, you know, mitigation problems were. But what they changed was, instead of making all of our mitigation just straight like armor resist and mob debuffs, they made everything self buffs. Like, instead of pacification or hitting a mob and debuffing it, it instead hits the mob and buffs us, which could have been the problem. I don't know. That's really what they changed within the three soul trees. They made some stuff passive, actually a lot of stuff passive, and all three trees now have a 58 point cooldown, and that's pretty much it. I mean, they're all viable. I've used all of them in a raid. I don't really see any issues.
So have you run, like, test on damage taken and shit, and is it comparable to what clerics and rogues are taking in?
I never really ran any numbers, but I've never really seen any need to. I've ran all three specs in both raids, and I haven't encountered any issues whatsoever, so.
Yeah, that sounds pretty promising, then. Now, are there any things that he can do to improve like, maybe quality of life on certain things?
For sure. I would say the first thing he needs to do is buff Void Knight shields, because Void Knight at the moment is the worst mitigation out of Paladin and Reaver. There's a couple of other specs, which I'm not going to mention, that actually do pull out ahead of the three main specs I mentioned, but I don't know whether it's intended or not. Can't seem to get a response all of a sudden, so I'm just having to wait and see on that one. Yeah, overall, just buff Void Knight shields, they're terrible, and a waste of a GCD. There's a couple of other abilities that just don't make sense, but it's just kind of pointless to go into it now until they're fixed.
So what you're saying is buff warriors. Could I keep buffing them?
No, it's just a couple of abilities. It's like, what good is a 2k shield when you're getting hit for 30 or 40k? It's just pointless.
Yeah, it's minuscule compared to the damage, that's for sure.
It's just a waste of abilities. Just scale it.
Yeah. So, what about clerics? Did they change anything with clerics? Healing, DPS, tanking?
Yeah, we got a few tanking buffs. So they changed Doctrine of Glory, which was a late root ability for cleric tanks that was pretty much useless. So it used to consume all your convictions and do an AoE heal that was horrible. And now it gives you about 2% damage mitigation per conviction consumed for 4 seconds. I'm not sure it's working entirely 100%, though, because the buff that you get when you put it up has no indication of how many convictions it actually consumes. So, you know, you could be getting somewhere around 2% mitigation or 20%. So we'll have to look at some more testing with that. But, I mean, it's good because it's basically, it gives us what rogues had, right? Because rogues have that stacking buff that has a very low cooldown and ends up giving them like 20%+ mitigation every now and then. And it's basically the cleric equivalent of that. And it has a cooldown on it. And they changed purpose, our mana regen ability, to be toggleable, which for all intents and purposes it was before anyway, because you just hit it. When you got your mana back, you'd click it off or cancel buff it, so it was already a toggle. They just made it official. And then the big change for us is that Reprieve, our full heal, is now like the warrior full heal, right? So heals us and our Righteous Mandate target for a lot. The problem is it's broken as shit. So if I use it, it's like an infinite range AoE taunt because it generates so much threat. So in other words, like, you know, if you're tanking Kane, anyone who's done Kane, and if you're off tanking adds and you hit it, that is bad because you wipe. It's impossible not to pull everything. So they need to make that like a zero threat ability or something, or, you know, take the threat down on that so it's actually usable. But, you know, all in all, good for cleric tanks because nothing about our base mitigation changed, but we did get those, you know, a few more cooldowns besides a shield and a heal.
Nice. It sounds pretty good. I mean, you guys got a full heal. That's a long time coming.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be a 1 minute cooldown, like 3-4k heal, which is a waste of a GCD, yeah. But now it's useful and it's quite good. Yeah. And they buffed Shaman DPS. They gave us our 61 point ability now gives us a 1 second GCD and it's toggleable. So that's been pretty good, and Shaman is much more competitive now. But like you mentioned, our bleeds are broken as well. So Frozen Wrath, our dot and Shaman, is broken just like everything else. So if you use it single target, it's not broken. But if you spread it with the AoE ability with Avalanche Strike, then it's hitting adds and stuff for like 10-12k.
Yeah.
So it's really broken right now for AoE, and, you know, it's having somewhat of an impact on current progression.
Yeah, but I mean, anyone can use it. That's at least if it was limited to like a certain shard or a certain person, it would be fucked up. But
yeah, that's the thing about all class. Yeah, that is the thing about all the class stuff. I mean, it is available to everybody, but it's just kind of like it's pretty messed up. I'm sure we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't have any rogues on, but the only thing that I remember from rogue changes was that they buffed assassin, and I think that was mostly due to PvP, so because I don't see a lot of assassins running in PvE, but when they do run, they're pretty competitive, you know, with other melee builds. So let's move on to the next topic, which is going to be the big topic, I guess. This is what we're here for. We're here to talk about progression, and there's been quite a bit of progression since we last talked, which was 2-3 weeks ago, which is pretty mad. So the main progression topic is Special Olympics mad? No, I'm kidding. I kind of broke it down into three separate things. Progression talk, and then we're going to talk about bugs, and then we'll kind of go and close it out with rating the bosses. You know, 1 through 5, 5 being amazing, 1 being, you know, like EH exclamation mark or question mark. The first one's going to be the progression talk, and we'll start out with the easy one, which is Frozen Tempest. Nothing new to see here. Everyone's done Frozen Tempest at least, you know, like twice now, if you're in EU. In America, finally, 2 American guilds got Crucia down after being lightning breath farted on and having her cleave out her ass. Addiction got it on Thursday, right? This past
Thursday. I honestly don't remember. I think it was then.
Yeah, I think it was Thursday because I was looking at Ripzam and you guys were the 14th and we got it on the 17th. No, that can't be right.
It was the 13th, whatever date or whatever day that is. I'm looking at my achievement tab.
Yeah, we got it like on Sunday, whatever the date that was. The days in winter kind of blur for me, especially since we're close to the end of the world here in a couple days.
Yep, that was a Thursday. I just looked.
So Addiction got it, and we also got it after, you know, suffering through Storm of Failure and all that crap. The loot that dropped was pretty, I guess it was better than what you guys got. You guys got like a healing, cleric healing one, and we got
a cleric healing.
Yeah, we got a mage totem, and we got Crucia's heart, so we went into her carcass, and we took out the heart, and we upgraded nothing with it, because you need a regular's heart with it. You know what this means, right? You know that there's going to be a surplus of Crucia hearts, and a bunch of people with no regular's hearts. Which is pretty shitty.
I never thought of that, but yeah, that is.
Yeah, so you're going to have a bunch of Crucia hearts, and this is almost as bad as when the Heart of Malphite was an RNG drop, and they ended up changing that. So maybe we got to make a thread and be like, hey, Josh York, if you're still working for Tryon, get your shit together. This is stupid. Like, you should have 2 hearts per dragon or something. I don't know. Actually, that would cause a surplus of double hearts, but yeah. So in Endless Eclipse, that opened up on Wednesday, and I know you PN'd me like super early. I was like just getting home, and you're like, hey, LOL, we got the first boss down, second boss down, going down quick. And it's like 1 p.m. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you guys were in there early. But I guess that's
1 p.m. That's when we started.
1 p.m. or some shit. I don't know. It was early.
Not that early.
It was super early. It was like 6 in the morning.
Totally.
So Addiction went into Endless Eclipse, and they grabbed the world first, Cetos and Kane. And, I mean, at that point, it wasn't even out in EU, so. But whatever, a world first was a world first. And right behind them, you know, once it opened up in EU, game over, Special Olympics grabbed their, you know, their appropriate server first and achievements, and No Quarter got them. A few other guilds got them too, you know. From what last time I checked, Trinity, Terrible Idea, and Babytown both got the first and second boss down. So kudos to you guys, making good progression in there. probably out of those two bosses, the second boss is my favorite because it's straight up DPS burn, and that's what I do. I just pew-pew and get things down and do my rotation and kind of fuck it up near the end so my numbers aren't as good as they should have been, but who's counting?
And yeah, I really didn't like Pain just because, what a surprise, more bugs.
Really? I didn't notice that many bugs because he kind of died.
Yeah, between me and the other tank, it was bugged. We would both see different ground AoEs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a known thing, though. And it depends on like how your raid is spread out. But, like, yeah, that's unfortunate, but I guess not game-breaking, obviously, since everybody still kills
him. We figured it out. It was just annoying.
Yeah, because sometimes you like the purple would come out and then the yellow would appear where you were standing, but people were like freaking out and getting hit by the zombie thing. So we're like, just stay the fuck wherever. Just pretend the yellow is gonna be where purple is. Like that's it. It's simple. Like this is kindergarten. And then eventually people, you know, stop being retarded and got it. Watching the internets, and I was watching Game Over stream, and they did a few wipes to the third boss at 1%. I was like, damn, they're so close. And then eventually they got the world first matriarch of, or however it's spelled over there, Pestilens, however you say it in German. So grats to them. It's well earned. We've only done about 1 hour pulls on that fight, but so far it looks like a really fun fight. And the DPS is tight. And it requires, from what I saw, pretty much perfect execution from all the mechanics. There's a few, you know, self-accountability mechanics and a few other, like there's a, you know, some healing checks, some tanking checks where, you know, you gotta tank the adds in a certain way so you can actually AoE them. That, you know, that's a pretty big thing. You want to hit things. You want to hit things so you can actually DPS them. So they did well on that. And from what I hear, they got the fourth boss, so they're pulling regulos now, which looks like a pretty fun fight. The fourth boss, obviously, not on par with the third boss, but it's still a kill, so congrats to them. Well, let's talk about bugs. We all love bugs, and there were quite a few of them in Frozen Tempest. So the big thing in Frozen Tempest was Krusha, you know, she was doing her Infinite Storm in Phase 3 and just wiping everyone. And she was also doing a few other things in Phase 1, like sometimes she would spawn a bomb and no turret. Sometimes the mechs wouldn't, you know, they would stay at one health and not actually die, so you couldn't get in them. That was pretty fun. And like one night, we were in Phase 6, and she was doing Lightning Breath behind her and cleaving people. That didn't happen on Sunday, but it's just something that we noticed. And now, instead of Infinite Storm killing you in Phase 3, it's called Storm of Failure. So, I have no idea why they changed the name of it. Are there
debugging purposes?
Are there two Infinite Storms? Like, is he trying to find out which Infinite Storm's killing people?
Most likely, it's just some sort of a, you know, debug process.
Yeah, I mean, whatever he did, it made it less frequent, but there's some guilds that are still getting it, like, every single pull. And I don't know.
We didn't have issues. We went in there and just kind of raped her.
Yeah, like, we got Storm Failure twice out of 6 or 7 tries before we killed her, which is not bad. I mean, considering before we're getting that bug like 9 times in a row, and I was pretty much killing people's you know, morale. Especially after, I mean, let me give you a short history of how hard we pushed. Like, we were in Krusha and we were pushing like every night at least 5-6 hours with the bugs, like where she would, you know, target someone and do breath at the same time and kill half the raid. And I mean, a few times we got her down to like 6-7%. Like it was really close to world first, but we just couldn't DPS her. We couldn't have enough people alive for that last 6% push with all those people dying from the breath. And we just pushed so hard, and then the storm of failure started happening. People were just like, what the fuck? Why should I go in there? Like, I'm not having fun. But to the best of my knowledge, she's 100% killable now. And, I mean, And now the storm of failure is also happening in EU Shard. So hopefully they get that fixed soon, because you're going to have a lot more guilds of, you know, the casually hardcore kind come in there, and you don't want them to die, because, you know, they're the guilds that give the hardcore guilds members, and they're, you know, they make most of the raiding community. So you definitely don't want to lose most of your community. And as far as Endless Eclipse, I mean, for Frozen Tempest, I didn't notice any glaring game-breaking bugs in the other two bosses, or the other three bosses. Like, they're pretty well tested out, bug-free. I mean, I'm sure there's some here and there, but it wasn't like it would stop you from killing the boss. And Endless Eclipse, the only thing I noticed on Matriarch was that sometimes the spore that you gotta drop, it would just drop in the middle of the raid for no fucking reason.
I don't know if I can say what causes it, but I don't know if it's a bug or if it's intended, but it happens at a set interval every single time, so I don't know. It's very annoying and causes many, many wipes.
Yeah, like, I know that if you cleanse it, it drops, right? And if you have some kind of ability that reduces your global cooldown or ability cast time, something like that, it'll drop.
Yeah, anything like that, but it's just the thing that always does it. It's what I'm referring to. Read chat if you want to say they're calling it out. I'm not allowed to say anything about strategies, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of shitty, but I guess Trine is aware of the problem, and they're going to fix it. Because that's their job. They fix stuff that's broken that made it to live service. And you said, and like, there's that bug with Kane where, like, there's, if no one's seen Kane, he does this cross pattern, and while he's casting, it's purple, and it turns yellow at the end of the cast. And if you're standing in the yellow, you get turned into a zombie. You got to eat people for 30 seconds. Sometimes if you move out of purple, you'll see a bug on your screen where yellow will be where you're standing, exactly where you're standing, even if you moved out of purple. But that's a bug. I mean, yellow will always be on purple. So people are, you know, getting confused by that. So that's a bug, but it's not like, you know, where you can't avoid it. That's definitely avoidable. Any other bugs you guys noticed?
I was going to say, though, I didn't see any bugs in the first boss, so there's something.
Yeah, that is something, because the first boss is five mini-bosses, right? Or four and the main guy.
Yes.
And, I mean, you're talking about a main boss and four mobs that go with it. I mean, there's got to be more scripting into an encounter like that than something like Kane or even Matriarch. But for some reason, they get that encounter like 100% right. No bugs, nothing's bad. Perfect entry encounter. I don't. Whoever they hired to do these, to do that boss, they need to like do every other boss. Although,
it's a possibility. You know, they just figure more guilds are going to see the first boss, so they only, you know, they want to put the most time into the first boss. If they get time for the second and third boss, good for them. If they don't, at least they have one working boss that everyone's going to see.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, props to them for that. But but if it wasn't for all the bugs on Crucia's last part, excuse me, it would have been, I thought Crucia was it felt pretty epic the first few times we were pushing to phase 6. But with that bug in phase 3, I mean, it kind of, like, you get this giant boner, like, you get your raider boner, like, you're making progress, it's hard as hell. And then you push into phase 3 and it's like everyone just wipes. It's like getting 10 boners in a row and losing 9 of them. It's total boner kill.
That was a well-worked analogy.
Yeah, that I totally came up with that.
Spent some time
on
that one?
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of the bosses, like the combinations of well-working bosses or not, are probably just a combination of a particular dev style and as well as who they combine to test it. I mean, you know, that's one thing you'll see in Crucia. Like, yeah, Crucia has a lot of bugs, but I think people overlook the fact that the flow of that fight is horrible. So you have a ton of healers that you need for 40% of the boss's health, and they do nothing in phase 1. And then even down 60% to zero, you don't need as many healers as you need for 100% to 60. So like that's like poor design. So you have a raid composition that does nothing for about, you know, 80% of the fight. And, you know, clearly that's just feedback they didn't get or didn't realize during testing or something, because, you know, I think you see that variance a lot, like well-tuned bosses in which you have your raid, you know, you set up a particular, you know, type of raid setup and a raid composition, and everybody is feeling, you know, sort of maximally effective. That's good raid design. And in Crucia, you just don't have that. And you'll see that, like, a lot of bosses that people refer to as bug-free are ones that also happen to have really good flow. So everybody feels maximally effective and everybody is being, you know, maximally used. Nobody's just there for, like, a sheep or this particular ability and stuff. And, you know, Crucia is just not that encounter.
I wish that the robots could do other things too in Crucia. Like, I wish that, like, you could stay in the robot if you wanted to all the whole encounter and go up in the air and just punch her in the stomach, but you just kind of shoot something at her and she comes down. Like, I think that's the coolest part of the fight. She comes down and, like, right now she's doing something weird. Like, on our kill, or one try before the kill, she was flying into the platform, and when she came down, she came inside. She came down inside that thing. We thought she was going to bug out. But I wish she could stay in the robot. I mean,
yeah, just stay in the mech, take out all your aggression on her, and just, like, cump on her in the air.
Yeah. Like, grab her tail, swing her around, like, throw her into space, and then she'll suffocate.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But I don't know. I've never really been a fan of, you know, losing your character in a mech. I don't know. It's okay. Up to a point, I suppose.
Or at least making it meaningful. I mean, like, put that person in the mech the entire time and have them do things
beyond mana drain. Yeah, I feel like there just wasn't enough done.
Like,
it's like, that person has the same responsibility. Like, the mana draining thing continues when you don't have the mech. So, like, if you're going to continue to mana drain or use other people, like, well, you know, people were using on progression and stuff, other mana drainers and stuff. If you're going to continue to do that outside the mech, then why give the mech that ability? You already have to have somebody who does that. So you give it to another person temporarily when it's really not that important. And then, you know, you have to give it to this. And then you just have to require that of the raid, even though you take away the mech from them. So it's just like, you know, the whole encounter design just feels really choppy. It sounds like they had three pretty good ideas, but they just tried to put them all together in a way that doesn't work. So, you know, I think they should have spent more time refining that fight. And I'm sure if it hadn't been so complicated like that, they might not have had as many bugs.
Kind of like Maleforge, just sounded good and just done fucking horribly.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you think about it, you know, like, three tanking Maleforge initially is, like, something you could do because of the DPS check, but did you really need to do it? Probably not, and it would have been a little bit more of an epic fight if you didn't do that. And, you know, there's just things that were not available to us, I guess, at the time.
I think what they need to do to make every fight epic is pretty much take Achilles' fight and replace, like, Achilles with another dragon, and replace Jarnar with some underling, and then put all the dragons in one platform. I don't know. But they need to, like, Decoy needs to start designing more encounters. Like, I know Achilles was him and a few other guys, but it was mostly him, right? He needs to do more of that. Instead of delegating, he needs to get in there and, like, design every boss, like, every dragon.
Sure who made Achilles.
I'm pretty sure he had a big part of it, because I remember watching a video or reading an interview where he was talking about specifics about how he, you know, the global environment within the, you know, the computer that they used to script, like, the tentacles, the geysers, stuff like that, the waves. I mean, don't quote me on that, but I have a pretty fucking good memory, and I remember that.
I can't remember.
And, yeah, so, do you guys have any other bugs you want to talk about in Frozen Tempest or Endless Eclipse? I mean, did the bug in Crucia affect Trinity, like, morale-wise as it did us?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, for us, too. I mean, it's just the fact that, like, at this point, I mean, maybe before certain classes got broken to hell, we might have put more time into it. But, like, we, you know, whatever happens with our instance or whatever particular combination of things that we are doing, like, when our instance starts doing Infinity Storm, it doesn't stop. So, I mean, we're not talking, like, 9 out of 10 pulls. We're not talking 14 out of 15. We're talking 100% of the time we can't get it out. And so, like, we rate earlier than most guilds because a lot of us are East Coasters. So we get about just about an hour of pulls. Now, an hour sounds like a lot, but remember, like, as you guys know, I mean, once you have phase 1, 2, 3 on lockdown, an hour is not many pulls because you're going 10 and a half minutes into the fight before somebody messes up and you die. If you're, you know, when you're wiping. So you're looking at, like, the other night we had 8 pulls and then we went into chain Infinity Storm again. And we also had a no turret bomb spawn as well. So 8 pulls, 6 of which were good. And then, you know, we have somebody mess up at 10% and then you don't kill it. So, and then you're just cooked for the night. So it's like, you know, that's pretty demoralizing considering that it's like, you know, you have everybody and their brother who is pushing past orbital right now because they just zerd chloros at it. I mean, it's just like the thought of progression on that boss right now is just like completely like gut-wrenching, I guess.
Yeah. And from the chat, if Adam does, who was the guy before Adam? Because this, I mean, I remember the lead guy that designed Achilleos. Like, if it, I thought Adam had been their lead for, like, since the inception of Trion.
That was my knowledge as well. I really don't know the answer to that.
Like, I remember a few devs leaving, I want to say about a year ago. Definitely, like, around 1.4, 1.5. And, like, one of them was the warrior dev. It used to be this guy called Sweets. And he did a totally terrible job with the class. And then they brought in Atreus. And for a while, we didn't even know who our dev was because he never talked. And, I mean, if they fired Atreus now, who the fuck knows? Maybe they'll make, like, who's a pretty stable dev? Like, their rogue dev has that class down lock. Like, that class is probably the most balanced class on Rift right now. Yeah, Aelion, I think he's a little short Asian guy. Like, he might be doing two classes, but I don't think that would be feasible because one class is complicated enough for one guy, and I'm guessing they have people under them, let alone one guy per two classes, especially one that got a support role, has 3 tank souls and an off tank soul and 3 DPS souls. Like, that's insane. But if anyone can do it, it's an Asian guy. I mean, if they get 200 DPS for being Asian, then they probably get like 200 plus class dev DPS, I guess.
Yeah, but back then I really didn't keep up much, so I really didn't know any of the devs back then. But now I know, or at least knew, depending on who still works there, quite a bit of them.
Yeah, back then I was in a casual guild, so I didn't pay much attention.
Yeah, same here.
All right, so let's move on to the next part, which is us talking about bosses and trying to rate them, because that's what I felt like writing down. So in Frozen Tempest, I mean, we got 4 bosses. We got Galidra, we got Xavio, we got the twins, whose names cannot be pronounced by normal people, and we got Krusha, and we got that mini boss Ganganum, which is obviously a pop culture inside joke. It was pretty funny, I guess. So, in how would you guys rate the bosses in Frozen Tempest? Like, one being, you know, rate number 1, 2, 3, 4 as quick as possible. You know, 1 through 5, and then say which one's your favorite. So I'll go first, because I'm the lead host with Ruff, and I come first in the alphabet. Galidra, I think, was like a 2. She wasn't super tough. She was, but she was perfect for an entry encounter. The second one, Xavio, it'll go right up. It'll be a 3. She was good for a second encounter, a little bit more complicated, a little bit more fun. And then you get to the fourth boss, to the third boss, the twins. It took, you know, it took more than one night of attempts to get them down. But it was a little bit more fun. You know, we're seeing a pattern here, incrementally getting more fun and more complicated, which is what you want out of progression. You want to progress the mechanics, you want to progress the fun, and you also want to progress as a guild on these encounters. So it's a little bit more fun, a little bit more complicated. Although mechanics wise, like, it's not as full of as other third bosses and other raids, or, you know, penultimate encounters, but it's still more complex than compared to Xaviol and Galidra. So I would give that, I'll give that a, it'll stay a 3 because it wasn't super tough. It's definitely not as tough as the third boss in EE. And then I'll give, if you take out the bugs, I would give Krisha a 4.25 repeated. Because I think it's a pretty epic encounter. It's right where she should have been. She's not the end boss of the tier. And you kind of expected something epic multi-platform like that from her. I mean, 6 faces is pretty lengthy, but the last 3 faces flow pretty well. They're on the same platform, and there's something different to do in each phase. So I think there's enough variety there to account for, you know, not being as difficult as it should have been. And then the last phase is just survive and DPS while you can. So, and then I would rate overall Frozen Tempest, I would give it like a 4.1. I'm adding decimal points now because I felt like it. So I guess you go next, Ruff.
I really don't want to elongate things. I won't go into huge discussion about it. I don't know. I'd say Galidra probably a 2. I don't know. Pretty simple. Not really much to it for a starting boss. It's all right. I really liked Xaviol. I'd probably give Xaviol a 4. I really don't know what I like so much about him. I don't know. I like that fight.
She's something about cute. It. She's pretty cute for a devil chick.
And then twins, I'd probably give a 3.5 due to epilepsy. Otherwise it'd be a 4. Krisha, I'd pretty much just agree with you. Probably a 4-ish, maybe 3.5, I don't know. Krisha honestly really didn't impress me that much. I feel like they could have done a lot more, you know, even if there weren't the bugs. Just could have been better, more mechanics, I don't know.
And what about you, boy?
I think I'd give the first boss, I mean, again, I'd say a 2 because it was very much like a gear check. And initially, before they fixed Wrath of the Storm, I mean, there's nothing difficult about getting one shot by triple ticks of 10k Wrath of the Storm. So, like, that kind of RNG thing, I don't really go in for that, but that's life. You push past that. I'll agree with Ruff. I liked the second encounter, again, not because it was extraordinarily difficult, but because it had a mix of things. I mean, if you do mechanics correctly, if you have competent DPS, and your healers are pretty good, then you had a very easy time with that boss, and I think that's the way it should be. If you're good at something, then if you're good at various parts of this encounter, then it should feel, you know, pretty natural to kill it. So I'd definitely give that like a 4. Twins, I'll give a 3 just because, like, I don't think the enrage timer is tight enough. Too many tanks, too many healers, like, some guilds are going to run into gearing problems. Like, I don't like the design of that overall. The epilepsy didn't bother me so much. I like the fact that there's a lot going on. So I'd give that, you know, maybe a 3. And then Krisha as well, I would definitely give a 3 because, you know, sort of like I laid out before, I mean, I think the phases are poorly balanced so that you're, you know, you're carrying useless raid members in your raid comp just to deal with, you know, a minute of a 11 or 12 minute fight. So not a big fan of that. I mean, overall, you know, Frozen Tempest probably gets like a 3 for me. It wasn't so bad. You know, the bosses were, you know, challenging enough. And if you don't count the bugs, I would definitely give it a 3.
Very nice. That's, you know, that's around ballpark where I expected everyone to be. It's, you know, being the first tier, the first raid in the first tier of an expansion, I don't expect it to be mind-blowing. But this is another thing you got to consider. Because it was a first raid in a first tier, a lot of us were undergeared. So maybe a lot of these fights, their difficulty will be trivialized, would have been trivialized with, I guess, you know, something like that.
Guaranteed, dude. Imagine how easy Glider is going to be in 2 weeks when half the raid is going to be in half raid gear. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a joke. We went in there wearing fucking greens.
Yeah, but, you know, for being what it was, I it gets a thumbs up for me. I mean, you can rate it anything you want, but it gets a thumbs up for me. I wasn't disappointed with the whole raid overall. I mean, you're counting the bugs, but those are going to happen. It would probably take the rating down, but it'll stay thumbs up from me. Since we've killed 5 dragons now, so I mean, my personal top five dragon fights, and this is probably going to die with Regulos, so we might as well talk about it now. Achilles being number one, obviously. Greenskull being number two. I put Krusha above Lathys because I didn't progress through Lathys. I came in no quarter on their second kill, so I wasn't there for the 1 month of wives and yelling at each other and wanting to kill everyone at Tryon. So that's subjective to me. And then I put Lathys fourth, and Melforge, the joke of a fight he was, on number five. And let's just, you know, end it with talking about Endless Eclipse. We haven't cleared it. Obviously, no one has. But I think that, you know, like I said before, the first boss was pretty fun.
I liked it.
It was easy to learn. It had, you know, different mechanics, but they were, you know, fun and easy to figure out. It was perfect entry point to get people into the raid. You know, keep them coming back because they can at least kill the first boss. Kane the Reaper. I mean, before I move to Kane, what do you guys think, you know, I guess along the same lines on the first boss?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, decently tuned. I don't know. I think an extra mechanic would have been cool. It wasn't really a Titan Rage. It wasn't really a lot of AoE damage. It wasn't really a lot of tank damage. There's nothing really hard about it, but I guess that's the same as Galydra. So,
yeah, I think the little mini boss encounter and the trash before him were tougher.
Agreed. That took longer to figure out than the boss itself.
Yeah. Well, and the problem with Progenitor, like, it's definitely a good encounter. Like, it's a good entry encounter. And like you guys said, I mean, it's good because you can figure out quickly what you need to do, and then it's just about execution. That's a perfect first boss. But the problem with that, though, too, is, like, you know, supposedly you have all these open paths to kill the bosses in whatever order you want, but not really, right? I mean, really, there's only one or two ways you're going to kill them because the other ways are infinitely more difficult. So, like, you know, it's very interesting. They're sort of providing you with a false choice. It's like, this boss could go any way you want, except it's not. You're just going to, you know, everyone's going to do it almost exactly the same way.
Yeah.
We should have included an achievement first.
Basically, right? I mean, that's the situation we're in right now. Is they should have done a conclave type achievement where you have to kill them in a different order, right? Like, you know, kill them Redantixy type guy first.
Five
GG.
Weeks to kill them in different orders.
Yeah, basically gives you a reason to come back.
A month.
You need all them Regulos hearts anyway.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I forgot to mention. Damn, I should have added this to the notes. Talking about the hearts. Where the hell do you get Warp of the Sliver from?
It's supposed to be from the Ten Man.
From the Ten Man.
It's still not dropping.
The Ten Man. No, we've gotten it, I think.
No, I mean, ours is still dropping Soul of the Storm 100% of the time.
Oh, maybe that's it.
I'm sure we can petition to get it changed when they eventually fix it. Like, just, you know, however many times you killed it, you get that many Warp of the Slivers sent to you or something like that.
Hey, Ruff, do you want to answer the question this guy asked in chat, because you're the tank?
Yes, I'm not going to answer it on the stream. Pretty much, I'm just going to link him my guide. Don't follow pre-built guides.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's using...
Or pre-built specs.
Yeah, he's using one of those builds that they give you, like what
Holy
the
Light Defender, or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Use that. I recommend...
Hoplite.
I recommend just using my 58 Reaver build and calling it at that.
Yeah, Panda Murder. I would go to... That's a pretty cool name. He's playing Rift. He's called Panda Murder. Yeah, go to that guide. It has pretty comprehensive builds and you know, tells you what you need to keep up as far as buffs, debuffs on the target, rotation. You know, has a link to the build, so you can see how to spend the points and everything. Because the classes, the builds that they give you, they give you to choose from when you start the game, are kind of just templates, because before, people were confused by the soul system. They didn't know what to choose. I mean, you got all these souls, and it's good that they give you templates, but you can definitely, I guess, once you get used to playing a class and seeing what different souls do, you have to respect, you know, go to your trainer, respect the soul and pick one of those builds if you want to be the most effective. And most of those builds are for level 60, so
Yeah, I was about to say that, though. I can't really help for not level 60. Before level 60, go find a link to Primal Thirst Guide. He wrote a guide all the way up to level 60, I believe, for tanking.
Yeah, Primal Thirst is... He's one of our friends. He was on the show last week, and he's really knowledgeable about everything tanking, from warriors to rogues to clerics. Dude has a giant man crush on tanking.
I just accidentally hit a wrong button and closed the stream. It'll be up in a sec.
Wow.
One job.
He gets one job. It's a stream of fucking podcast, and he hits the wrong button. It's like, do you want to kill everyone on one button and then, like, be nice to the world or whatever on the other button? He hits, like, the wrong one. He's like, sorry, guys. My finger, I fat-fingered it, even though he's not even fat.
Yeah, well, okay. I tabbed back into Rift, noticed my FPS was really, really high. And then I was like, why is my FPS so high? So then I go to my stream and then realize it's not on, forgetting I'm streaming on Raidlock. Is it back up, though? Can anybody confirm that?
Yeah, it's up.
Yeah, it's up.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Yeah, that guy, just follow that link and adjust the builds to your level, obviously. We got another question. What do you think about... What?
I was going to say the one question that Seton asked was, what do you think about the lame conquer of Endless Eclipse reward?
Oh, that stupid Regulo statue?
Statue.
Is that a dimension
item? No cool mount. No cool, like, armored mount. No, you know, cool armor. It's just statue.
Well, I think it's cool that they're trying to push, you know, this dimension content out, but
it should be multiple items. Not enough people visit dimensions.
You know what
care.
It needs to be? It needs to be choose from these X amount of items. Like one item, a dimension item, one item, a mount, one item, I don't know, you turn yourself into 10 Reguloses and terrorize Tempest Bay. I don't know. Something. You can't... The mounts were part... Everyone loves mounts in MMOs. Like, if you put a mount on the store, on the Tryon store for 10 bucks, you will sell, like, 20,000 of them. And they've done that already in the past. Why would you make it a statue where I guarantee you that most raiders don't have... I don't have a dimension, like... Most of the people in my guild don't have a dimension, and if they do, they probably just put, like, a flower pot in it. Except you, like, you're kind of all over the place with your puzzle. But that's because you had extra time. So, I mean, it should be either a mount or, like, the Frozen Tempest thing, where it's a mech, and I'm assuming it's the mech that you use on Krusha. It's got to be something that you can, like... You know, show off to the rest of the world, in my opinion, because that's why we raid to, you know, we all have a little ego. We raid for the achievements, for the competition, most of all, and to show off our gear and all that stuff. I mean, there's several things that people use as motivation, but in Rift, it has been, you get Conqueror, you get this cool ass mount that no one else can get unless they get that same achievement. You know what I mean?
You want that Death Raptor?
I don't want a Death Raptor, but it, like, if Regulos turned in, like, if you got a Regulos mount and, like, you rode on his back and, like, his tail was, like, you pulled on his tail to stop or something, that would be pretty cool.
Now, I want what Seton said. Get rid of the Regulos statue. I want Elrar as a mount.
Yeah, that too. I mean, that will work. If Elrar, like, can go into, you know, neckbeard pose or whatever. Whatever Stein said that one time.
I don't know, but that would be amazing.
Like, he went into, like, neckbeard posture and started, you know, riding around, and you were, like, on his back or piggyback or something. I don't know. Definitely Elrar or some kind of mount. But someone else had a question here. What do you think about warrior, cleric, rogue tanks? Do you think they are balanced or each has their own pros and cons? I think
people will say they're not balanced. There they're balanced around different things, I guess. I'm not too knowledgeable about rogues or clerics. I know everything about warriors. People say warriors are underpowered still. I don't know why people say that. I've tanked everything and I've had no issues whatsoever. I mean, I'd consider everything even enough. Just don't fucking break anything, please.
Yeah, I think
that's my opinion. Just it's good enough. Don't break it.
I think that the tanks are getting back to where they should have been. Like each class has their own role they can fulfill the best. Like clerics have crazy, you know, AoE aggro. The rogues can, you know, have lots of mobility, and the warrior tanks just kind of stand there and take punishment. But obviously, they need to take more punishment to be on par, but they're getting better.
Yeah. This Atreus never got back to me. He said he was going to nerf it. I think they slightly did. I don't remember what it was in 2.0, but they really need to raise Paladin and Reaver a ton, or my guess is they really need a lower Void Knight. And I'm putting this out there for everyone, but Void Knight is way too overpowered in DPS. I can pull over 7,000 DPS as Void Knight while tanking.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it helps with DPS checks, but...
So, if anything, I think Void Knight needs a nerf.
Well, considering warriors were taking that much more damage from the same mechanics that they were supposed to mitigate, as well as the other classes, yeah, they were pretty broken.
Alright, well, I mean, is there anything else? Reading through the notes, I don't see too much.
No, that was pretty much it. We're just answering the questions at the end there because some came in. So unless anyone else has anything else to say, we're going to close it there.
I'll just say that I'll go ahead and get in before all the QQ threads in the new year after they fix Chloro. Like, I think people are underestimating what's going to happen here. Like, they're going to fix Chloro, and then a bunch of guilds are not going to be able to repeat kills. And, like, the forums are going to blow up Macklemos style. Like how, you know, they ninja buffed Macklemos, not ninja, but buffed him a little bit, and a bunch of guilds that had killed him when they had disabled everything, like, sort of freaking out. Like, that's going to happen again. I mean, you have right now, like, a class that can crit 9k heals on 10 people in the raid. So if you run two of those, I mean, like, that's the story of Endless Eclipse progression. You just stand in everything with two Chloros and GG. And, you know, you see a lot of guilds that are, like, sort of, I would say, like, middle-tier guilds and stuff, just pushing past the content, no problem with that, and it's just, it's going to be a lot of QQ when they change that back. And it's even worse that they just basically came out and said, well, yeah, we know what the problem is, but we're just not going to fix the broken bleeds and the Chloro bugs until the new year. So, I mean, people are going to get way too comfortable with it. So it'll be very interesting to see how things pan out.
I agree, though. I think it will be the middle and lower tier guilds that it'll affect more because, you know, by the new year, we'll be, you know, the top, you know, a couple guilds will be so used to all the fights. We'll have more gear. It won't matter.
Yeah, you'll have
nearly as much.
You'll have more DPS via gear and player skill and just getting used to the fights that you'll be able to drop a healer or have half healer.
It's definitely going to be a detriment to the lower end, I suppose, rather than the, you know, the world first competition.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think that's going to wrap it up for us this week. I want to thank Bor for coming on. I want to thank everyone for participating in the chat room. And I want to thank the spaghetti monster for giving me the strength to do this. Like, I still feel kind of shitty. I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I had this cold last week, and I could not talk. Like, literally could not talk for more than 10 seconds before my voice went. And it's still kind of shitty, but hey, Spaghetti Monster gives, Spaghetti Monster takes. So, whatever. No, I don't believe in a Spaghetti Monster. I'm just trying to be funny, which is obviously not funny because no one's laughing. All right, so I'm just going to cut my losses there and end this right here. Thanks for watching or listening, and I'm going to get this uploaded as soon as possible. Our next recording is going to be on the 1st of January. Holy shit. That's if
that
people are not out drinking.
That should be delayed.
Yeah, or
that's going to need to be a different day.
I'm a loser. I don't have friends, so I mean,
I'm gonna be with friends.
I'll probably be working half a day that day, and then come home and be bored. So who knows? Maybe I'll do an episode by myself, like a little mini episode.
I'd say there's a 99% chance I'm gonna be with friends. So
there's a 99% chance Ruffy's gonna drink too much and be in the hospital for alcohol poisoning.
Dude, I've never even been drunk still.
Wow! Wow! You never drank. You heard it here first. Ruff has never drank like an ounce of alcohol.
Metabolism's too fast. I got a binge drink to get drunk.
All right, so everyone, keep it classy and keep that progression going. See you in a couple of weeks.